Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Thanks so much to Kevin Ingram for coming in and updating us on the latest on Manhattan Christian College. Again, if you missed that segment or our discussion with USD 383 officials a little bit later today, this whole In Focus will be online on demand at newsradiokman.com. Right now in studio, I have Riley County Emergency Management Director and County Fire Chief Pat Collins in studio. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
How's it going?
All right, so far.
So far, right? That would be like the typical response from anybody emergency management, right? It's all right so far. Because you never know.
You just never know, right?
And 25 years ago today, it was kind of one of those situations where we had the 93 flood and a big event for anybody who was around the community at that time. Even if you weren't in the community at that time, you've heard about the 93 flood because it was a pretty epic event for Riley County, this whole region, really statewide. There was a lot of flooding statewide.
Well, if I remember right, there was about 52 counties in the state that were affected by flooding at that time. So, of course, we got flooding from the north. It came clear out of Nebraska. And then, of course, we shared it with the people downstream, clear down into Mississippi.
Right. I was telling you during break, I was only like 7 or 8 back in 1993. But I do remember flooding in the Winfield area. I know our fairgrounds, which we have a levee, it's the fairgrounds in Winfield are made to take on floodwaters because Walnut Valley or the Walnut River is just right there. And it floods from time to time. But I do remember that flooding event. And Pat, if you just kind of want to take us back in time a little bit, I guess just tell us, where you were, what you were doing when this happened.
Well, we geared up. We started seeing the rains coming in, and we had some flood, some inflows into the to Tuttle Creek that raised it pretty quickly. And probably the biggest thing I remember about this was everybody seemed to blame Tuttle Creek for the flooding. And what I keep sharing with people is that we had at least 3, if not 4, 100,000 cubic foot inflows into Tuttle Creek. So it stopped those kind of floods, and eventually by today, the peak of the flood, we were had to release about 68,000 cubic feet per second, which caused the flooding in Manhattan and some downstream. But the dam actually held back 3 to 4 prior floods that would have come down if we didn't have the dam.
And that is kind of the key, right, is that the dam did serve its purpose.
It did, yep. And of course, once it got to the top and they actually raised the floodgates, it raised the elevation of the lake another 4 to 6 inches, and it really held back more water yet that could have caused additional flooding. So it served its purpose, saved a lot of properties, although, we had a lot of people that suffered damage and loss downstream from the flooding that happened. But it was once it got to the top, it was save the dam.
Brady Bowman here with Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins. We're talking about the 93 flood 25 years ago, really to today, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you have any memories of that, if you were in Manhattan at the time, go ahead and give us a call and share those memories with us, 785-537-1350. We have about 9 minutes left in the program. And basically, it was such a flooding event that if the dam wasn't there, we might not be sitting here right now. I mean, the whole town would have been flooded.
Right. Well, it actually both dams. So Milford had the floodway, so it flowed around and came over. It didn't come over the top, but came out through the flood area, and so it held back a lot of water that came down through the Republic. And then, of course, we had the Blue that Tuttle Creek held back, and I'm sure there were other massive rains to the west that Canopus and some of those reservoirs and dams held back too.
And when it comes to like raising the floodgates and like making those sort of decisions, how tense was it at the time 25 years ago, and how close was it from maybe even getting over the dam?
Well, it got pretty close. I mean, the top of the dam is like 1137 and a half, or 1137, and by raising the gate 6 inches, that let out 68,000 cubic feet per second. Now, my friend Brian McNulty will probably, he's got a lot more details, but that's really what raised the elevation of the lake, and it, that 6 inches supposedly gained us about twice the water area that was in the dam already just by going up 6 inches.
And we do have a phone call. Lauren from Manhattan is on the line with us. Go ahead, Lauren. You're on In Focus. Hello, Lauren. You there? Must have lost her. Go ahead and call right back if maybe we had a little issue on our end. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. And I think she is calling back in. So hopefully that's her. Do we just want to take it? Well, we'll just keep talking for a second and hear what Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins, also County Fire Chief. Again, we're talking about the 93 flood that was in Manhattan 25 years ago. And again, if you have phone calls, 785-537-1350. And you said, Pat, that folks were aware that you were prepared. And looking at the, was it a bunch of rains in Nebraska, you said?
We had rains, yeah, all over the state. A lot of the Blue River came out of Nebraska. We had rains along the north edge of Kansas, which went into the Republic, and down the Saline and the Chapman Creek and all kinds of things. We had lots of rain that came in at different times, and it kind of built up and filled up all the dams. So we got about 15 days notice is when we started meeting on a regular basis and putting out information about flooding. And you know what? The other thing I remember really well, and this proved true again in with the tornado, is that the people in Manhattan and Riley County are really resilient. I mean, they go to great odds to go out and help each other and help the people who are in having a problem or getting flooded, or you know, their house is destroyed by wind or tornado or whatever. And we saw that. Just people came out of the woodwork to come sandbag for days to help people protect their property.
I know there's sandbags around this radio station.
There was.
During that day. I know Davis told me a lot of stories about that.
Yeah, we had lots of businesses. We didn't know if the radio station was going to get affected here. We had, of course, the water was up on the levee around the industrial park and was threatening it. We had some sand boils that popped up on the inside of the levee that had big concerns. And
a sand boil.
Sand boil. So what happens is the ground liquefies and then works underneath the levee, and then it'll pop up, and then eventually the levee will give away. So
that's how a levee gives away, is underneath.
Yeah,
most of the time.
Yeah, channels underneath and liquefies the dirt or sand or whatever, and yeah, then you have real problems. And we had two Corps of Engineer people out here 24 hours a day walking that levee, and actually they rode horses for a few days too, so... Because they drove on it the first 5 or 10 days, and then they quit driving on it because they didn't want to cause problems.
What type of a lot of flooding was avoided, but there was still some flooding. What type of flooding did we see in the area back then?
Most of our flooding was a fairly slow rise. It came up. Of course, we had the Ogden flooding that occurred because of the Kansas River and what came down through the Republic and Milford and some of those tributaries, but the big amount of flooding was Hunter's Island. I mean, when you crossed Waukat Creek, it was water. There was a few little islands out there, but it was water as far as you could see looking over that Waukat Creek Bridge going on South Manhattan Avenue.
And there was no injuries, thankfully, due to this flooding?
Well, I think there was some minor injuries from people sandbagging or dropping stuff on each other or tripping and falling, but there wasn't any drownings or people that were trapped in floodwaters.
Do we have any ideas on what type of property damage there was? Or any numbers?
Don't really have good numbers. I know we ended up solving some of our problem through the Stafford Act, so FEMA let us come in, and they provided funding to buy out a lot of the the flood-prone properties. So we had a lot of mobile homes on Hunter's Island and Ogden and around Manhattan and houses and things like that that I think it was almost, I think, 400 residences that we ended up buying out through the next couple of years to make sure they didn't flood again.
Just got about a minute left here with Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins and talking about the 93 flood 25 years ago this week. What do you think is the big lessons that's been learned since from that event?
Well, I think preparedness is a big thing. We understand that there's always the opportunity of flooding. We have a couple different flood models out there now, one for the Blue River and one for Wildcat Creek. So somebody moving into the community can see, hey, this is what the floodgate looks like. If the flood water comes up or if we get a gauge reading of such and such, this is what's going to happen downstream, and they can click on it and tell how much water is going to come down and if the house that they're living in or the apartment they're living in is going to be affected. So we do a lot of that. We have some sirens now. We have voice sirens that can notify people in certain areas. So we've done a lot of preparedness to try to get ready. And, you know, we have a pretty fluid population here, so transients. And so we have to be able to re-educate people as they come in.
And I know back then, obviously, again, I was only 7 or 8 and at Winfield playing with toys. Well, I guess not a whole lot's changed since then. But there was a big partnership between radio station. Of course, you know, didn't have internet, didn't have social media, but a good partnership between radio station and emergency personnel that day and that week.
Well, yeah, good communications.
Riley County Emergency Management, Director Pat Collins, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Listening to this in focus, it'll be on demand online at newsradiokman.com a little bit later today. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Brady Clark.